Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. Are you doing what you love, yet worried about money? Do you feel torn between following your heart and making a living? Like many of us, today's guest, author Jennifer Noel Taylor, was spiritual and broke until she had a shocking aha moment in the back of a police car. Her tragedy was a cataclysmic lesson that completely changed her perspective on the law of attraction. Her book, which is coming out in May, Spiritual and Broke, is a practical guide for entrepreneurs, writers, artists, healers, and anyone who wants to follow their heart without feeling like a martyr for the cause. This book shows you how to create genuine prosperity while honoring your true calling in life. Jennifer is an energy healing practitioner, self-help motivator, and the CEO of Quantum Touch, Inc. She has dedicated her life work to helping people discover the healing power of their love. Good morning, Jennifer. How are you?
Oh, good morning. Yeah, good morning. It's great to be here.
Thank you so much for being my guest. So the first question has to be, how did you end up in a police car?
Well, it's a really intense story. What happened was I was living in Venice, California, and one night somebody broke into my house. And I didn't know that someone had broken into my house until, like, he showed up in my bedroom at 3:30 in the morning. And you know, apparently he was looking to, you know, a robbery, but it turned into a sexual assault. And so I called 911. And, you know, as part of the investigation, the officers had to take me to the Rape Trauma Center. And so at about 5 a.m. in the morning, there I was sitting in the back of the police car watching the sunrise and just in a complete state of shock. Really not, you know, I felt like my whole life had fallen apart, and this was just insane. And so what happened there was, you know, I was just sitting there and not really paying attention to anything, something told me that I needed to pay attention. And all of a sudden, at that moment, one of the officers said, "We're now transporting the victim to the Rape Trauma Center." And something about that just really struck me, like the word, you know, the word victim, using context with me, because I had this perception of me as a entrepreneur, spiritual healer. I was teaching people, you know, we're empowered, we create our reality, you know, your body has an amazing ability to heal. And then I was being, you know, labeled as a victim, and that juxtaposition just you know, shocked me into reality, because, you know, at that moment I said, wow, I'm not a victim here. This is completely crazy. How did my life end up like this, being labeled a victim in the back of a police car? I'm certainly not a victim. And, you know, but then it, you know, it dawned on me that, wow, you know, I think like a victim a lot of the time. You know, I blame my money problems on, you know, taxes or God or the universe or, you know, outside circumstances. I blame men for being unavailable when they date me. I just, you know, I was living a lot of my life as a victim, even though I was teaching people we create our reality, and I was teaching people empowerment. And I realized that I was a hypocrite. And it was such a shocking realization, because that victim mindset was sort of like a background noise that had been haunting my life for quite some time. And so I made that decision at that moment, you know, to not be a victim anymore.
Wow.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I have a story almost identical to yours. So I didn't have the same outcome, but it was in the middle of the night, a home invasion and the whole nine yards, ending up in a police car. So
wow.
I have
the exact same story. Yeah.
I was very young. And it was really before I had any kind of insight into life, so it just, you know, crushed me. But, you know, when something like that happens, you absolutely can claim being a victim, because that's a situation where you have absolutely no control over. But I understand where it triggered that thought process in your mind that said, I'm a victim in so many ways. So that was a great big aha moment, as you say. So where did you go from there? What did this open up for you?
Well, you know, actually it led to a lot of soul searching, because I got to admit, I had a beef with the law of attraction, because the law of attraction says you create your entire reality. And I'm like, well, yeah, but I didn't create that, did I? I mean, why would I create something like that? So I had a kind of this difficulty with, you know, are we really a victim in some circumstances, or do we create everything? And if we do, why do we create really, you know, insanely difficult things? I mean, why would we do that? So is the law of attraction real, or is it selectively real, or is it complete nonsense? And, you know, because I thought, well, aren't we all victims on some level just by our mere existence on planet Earth? I mean, how can the law of attraction actually be real? So, you know, I had some soul searching around that, because I struggled with it, because I thought, I went back and forth. I thought, well, I'm not a victim in most circumstances, but sometimes I am a victim. So I had a hard time with that for years, and I went on a quest. I visited different healers and different coaches and tried all different kinds of therapy, one, to get over the trauma, because as you know, the PTSD from that can be horrendous. The second was to answer this question, you know, is the law of attraction real? And so I'd like to say that there was an instant happy ending, but that wasn't the case. It was years of sleepless nights and a lot of soul searching.
And, you know, I think that sometimes these things happen. Actually, often they happen because we're not hearing what's being told to us. And we need to be shocked into this wake-up call. Unfortunately, you know, that's why I think sometimes these things happen. If we're going down the wrong road, or whatever it is we are supposed to learn, we have not learned, or we're just not paying attention to learning it, then sometimes we are shocked into learning it. But as far as the law of attraction goes, explain what it is.
Okay, so there's this belief in our community and a lot of, you know, with the secret crowd, that we, you know, like attracts like. So we create our reality based on what we're projecting into the world. And there's a lot of talk around this. You know, the secret was huge on this, and actually that kind of really brought the law of attraction into the limelight, because I don't know, are you familiar with the secret, the video called The Secret?
Of course.
Okay, just making sure. Yeah, so, you know, the whole idea behind that one was, you know, your thoughts create reality. So, you know, if you change your thoughts and get into the, you know, positive thinking, your reality will change. My problem with The Secret was that, you know, I never thought about people breaking into my house. You know, I didn't have any fantasies about, or nightmarish fantasies about, you know, people breaking in or sexual assault or any of that. So I'm like, well, The Secret's really interesting, and I believe it part way, but I wasn't thinking that, and it happened. So how would I create that if I wasn't thinking about it, right? So that was kind of one of my questions. But I did, you know, at least pay lip service to the law of attraction, because I did believe it. And on a quantum level, you know, it's the whole idea that's shown with quantum physics is the reality is all just energy. So it's even I believe that the law of attraction is supported with the discoveries in quantum physics. So, you know, on some level we know that the law of attraction is real, but I just didn't realize, you know, I didn't understand how can a thought create reality, because clearly that wasn't the case, you know, in my situation.
I completely agree with you, and I have a problem with the secret, because so many people have tragedies in their life that they are not responsible for, that they are victimized, and for them to feel like they have to take responsibility for that happening or feel like they attracted that to them is just punishment on top of punishment. So what did you, you know, so I don't believe that we attract these things. I don't know why these things come except that they're learning tools for us. So what did you come to? What conclusion did you come to?
I came to a really interesting conclusion. So I had a session with a, let's see what you call it, Well, two things happened. Okay, so the first thing is I had this session with a kind of a psychic medium/channel, and, you know, it was really weird. He said, you know, if you were in a bank vault, you know, you would have attracted that experience. You know, if you were in a bank vault with a tightly fashioned lock, you still would have attracted that experience. And that was at the time where I was having this, you know, beef with the law of attraction, saying, well, you know, I'm not sure if I buy that. But something else really weird happened, and I remembered this after I had that session. So before I got woken up by the intruder, I heard a message from, you know, my little voice, or what some people call the universe or God or spirit, and the little voice said, you know, it is manifested. And I'm like, really? Because I kind of knew what the little voice was talking about, and I'm like, that was an interesting choice of words, manifested. So from what I heard from the healer, I started to, you know, and I'm going to say, like, on some level, I did attract the experience, but not from my thoughts. It actually was a deeper level. What was really going on was from an energetic perspective, from my energy and essence. And I went to another healer after that, because I was still, you know, questioning, like, why would I attract this? And I had a session with a healer that kind of burst open my heart. I had all this anger buried in my heart. It was, you know, this anger from relationships and feeling traumatized by men, and I was holding on to this anger. And when I had that session, you know, the universe spoke to me and said, it was that anger in your heart that attracted that from an energy and essence perspective, and the experience is just showing you what you were holding on to. So as you had just said previously, sometimes these experiences happen as a course correction to show us something about ourselves that we're ignoring. And I was burying all this anger in my heart. I was ignoring it and not processing it and not dealing with it, and it needed a wake-up call. So after, you know, this was 6 years later after that event, I kind of understood, at least finally, that, you know, it wasn't my thoughts. It was the energy and essence of me, what I was carrying in my heart, that created that to show me that I needed to release and let go of the anger that I was holding on to.
That's great. That's so well said. Yes, I agree with that. I agree with that. You know, it's a much better explanation because it takes the weight off of people. Look how many years you carried this struggle that you somehow created this horrible thing that happened to you, when in fact it was on a deeper level. So that is that will be a relief for a lot of people to hear. So at this time, you were having financial problems, and you were living paycheck to paycheck, and you were in debt and everything like that. So how did you use all of this to transform that sort of hole you were in?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So, you know, I was at $135,000 of debt. $35,000 of it was unsecured debt on a credit card with 29% interest, and then $100,000 of a business loan, and it seemed pretty hopeless. That's a lot of debt, and I had that for years. You know, just barely making payments on the credit card, barely paying the interest. You know, for a lot of people, when you know most of your credit card payment goes into paying the interest, it's discouraging. But what I realized, and this whole event helped me realize this, is that I felt like a victim to my money. I felt hopeless. I felt like I was a victim. I felt like I couldn't do anything. I could never get out of debt. And I blamed a lot of things for it, you know, especially God, because I said, hey, you know, I'm living my purpose. I'm trying to help the world. Where's the money? You know, show me some money. Help me get out of this situation. So I felt like actually I'm a victim to my cause. I felt like a martyr for the cause. And when I realized that, you know, I was deeply entrenched in martyrhood and victim, that's when I was able to start the process of turning my finances around. When I first recognized I was playing the victim and then decided to stop playing the victim, that was the turning point.
Yeah, I think we've all been there. And, you know, something that I've learned instead of, you know, because there was times I used to yell at the universe. I used to scream, why? When is this going to stop, you know? And I would yell. And then, yeah, and then I learned to do it a different way and to, instead of yelling at the universe, thank the universe for it as if it's already happened. And when I began to do that, the things started to happen. So gratitude works so much better than yelling, don't you think?
Yeah, gratitude works a lot better. And that's you know, interesting part about gratitude is it's taking ownership. It's saying, you know, I got this. You know, I'm going to be grateful for what I have, but I have the power to turn this around. Because it's not God's job, it's our job. You know, that there's we have to meet spirit halfway. We have to, you know, understand that it's not God's job to just fix stuff. It's our job to take ownership and say, all right, I can do this. I have the ability to pay off all my debt. I'm going to make wiser choices. And taking that ownership was just such a big turning point for me. I can't even describe how much it started to shift things.
It really does. It shifts almost immediately when you begin to change that. You begin to really see little inklings of the changes that are happening. So your book, Spiritual and Broke, what is the book about?
It's a lot about what I'm talking about now. I struggle with the law of attraction, and I take a deep dive into that, you know, explaining what the law of attraction is, why our thoughts, you know, don't work. Thoughts are only a piece of it. I explain, like, my whole healing quest about what I discovered about the law of attraction, and then taking, you know, that application of now, once we're willing to take ownership on a very deep level from an energetic perspective, then I outline some steps after you take ownership of how to start now turning things around. But the key piece, you know, that I spend a lot of time on my book is that ownership, because I think a lot of people on some level, you know, feel like a victim. And I really dive deep into this vulnerable state to describe, you know, how to really own your reality creation on a very deep energetic level. Because that's really, I think, so key. So I spend some time on that in my book.
Okay. That sounds great. Now, you are the CEO of Quantum Touch, and as I told you before we went on air, I had the founder of this, Richard Gordon, on my show on March 6th of 2018. So anybody that wants to listen to that show can listen, and they can get a full idea of what we're getting ready to talk about. But tell us, you're the CEO of Quantum Touch, so tell us what Quantum Touch is.
Okay, sure. Yeah, so Quantum Touch is a energy healing modality. So we teach people how to use life force energy to facilitate healing. And a lot of it stems around the belief that I've been kind of talking about, that the whole reality is one of energy. So that we're all energetic beings and our whole reality is energy. And then the reality reflects back to us what our energetic projection is. So we believe that by shifting that energy, your actual reality changes, and it works really well with health conditions. So if you have knee pain, you know, we teach people how to shift the energy around that so your knee pain goes away. So that's Quantum Touch in a very quick nutshell.
Okay. So I had two workshops done here locally for my massage therapists, and I took it because one of the therapists said to me, you have to take this with us. So I took it too, and I was absolutely amazed at what I could do. Never having understood this, that I had the energy in my hands to heal, when I actually did it, I was told that I had a gift. So it worked, you know, for me. I mean, I was able to do it somehow instinctively. But it's a very, very cool workshop to take. It's something very cool to learn. So how did you get to be the CEO?
That's a great question. So, I got a degree at Cal Poly in computer science, and I worked as a software developer, but like so many people, I dreaded my job. I went to work and couldn't wait to leave at 5 o'clock. I was basically going to work to collect a paycheck. So I started to follow my heart outside of work, and one of the things I was really drawn to do is massage school, of all things. So I went to massage school, and I really got into, we had a section on energy healing, and I really got into that. And I started to be able to feel the energy emanating from people, which fascinated me because I didn't even think that was real. I kind of had this intellectual idea that we were more than physical, but I didn't have a direct experience of that until I started to feel, you know, the energy. And you know, when I started to get into that, you know, the universe said, you know, energy healing is your life work. And I don't know if you've ever been told by the universe what your life work is.
Absolutely. My whole life, yes.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, so, you know, but my first response to that was, yeah, universe, you're absolutely insane, because that was about 16 years ago. And first of all, I said, you can't make a living doing energy work. And second of all, nobody believes in energy healing anyways. And I said, yeah, that's crazy. I can't really make this into my life work, although it seems like a really nice idea. But as you know, the universe always tends to get its way, which is awesome because I kept on following, the inspired action, as I call it, and I decided to attend a lecture on energy healing by Richard Gordon, the founder, and that was in 2002. And when I went to that lecture, the universe said, by the way, you will be running his company. And I'm like, all right, first of all, universe, that's the second craziest thing you told me, because I don't even know this guy, and I'm supposed to go up to him and say, by the way, I'm supposed to run your company. That's awesome. Yeah. So, but there's kind of a story involved here, but I did end up running his company. I go into more detail in my book how that happened, but I just kept on following, I guess, what I call inspired action, and it turned into becoming the CEO of Quantum Tech. It was a crazy story, and I'm sure you have experience of that.
My calling started as a child, and it took me on so many roller coasters and through so many detours, but the calling kept calling me, and I finally heard it and did something about it in my 50s. All those years, I couldn't put it together. I just couldn't put it together, but it was always there. So, it's amazing how, we know what we're supposed to do, but we don't always listen. So it's a good thing that you did listen. So what else did you want to tell us about what you do? I know that you, you also do healing work. Jennifer? Oh. Jennifer? All right. Jennifer, are you there? All right, let's give it a second. Let's see if she calls back in. I don't know if she's going to be able to call back in. And that's really a shame. So anyway, we are talking about Jennifer Noelle Taylor and the book Spiritual and Broke. I would imagine this is available for you on Amazon and other online booksellers. Her website is JenniferNoelleTaylor.com, and so that's JenniferNoelleTaylor.com. You may want to listen to the Quantum Touch show that I did on March 6th of 18 with Richard Gordon, because it was I found it so fascinating that I actually looked into hiring. I own two massage envies. I know I've said this before, but in South Florida. And I thought, wow, wouldn't this be a great technique for my therapist to learn? So I had two sessions for my therapist, and it was really cool. It's a very loving, the whole course is very loving and very enlightening as well. So you might want to look more into that Richard Gordon and the Quantum Touch method. And I am really sorry that our guest got cut off. I don't know what happened. I think she's actually calling me. Hold on. Hi. You got cut off. You got cut off. Okay, let me put this on speaker and we can go from here. Okay, So we're going to do it this way. We're going to do it through speakerphone. Okay.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, weird. Tower.
Okay.
Tower's really bad here. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Perfect. Well, I'm glad you called my cell phone. So anyway, I was just in the time that I was waiting, I just gave them your website and your book and told them a little more about Quantum Touch. But
awesome.
You're a healer. You do different modalities in addition to being the CEO of Quantum Touch, or have you given that up?
Yeah, right now I actually don't do private sessions. I just work on the business side, and because my passion is helping people who want to follow their heart and do their work, helping their work get out there in the world.
Okay. But you had learned Reiki, and what other modalities had you learned?
I did Reiki, and I did a lot of body work. And mostly my focus has been Quantum Touch. And I did a few sessions, on friends, and I still work on friends and acquaintances, but I really got into the actual business side, which I love.
That's great. That's awesome. So what is it that we need, what else do we need to know about how we can change our lives?
So one of the things that I think is really difficult for people, but I think is really helpful, is, even in times where where you're really struggling, where you feel like things are really difficult, is to really listen to your heart. And I know it's really hard when, things are falling, seem to be falling apart, but to listen to that, what I call the still small voice, and to really pay attention to it and understand what it's telling you, because that actually is your way out. Because I feel like the universe and all this stuff that happens, what it's really trying to do is get us to open our heart and listen to our heart. In my case, with that tragedy with the sexual assault, the universe is saying we need to break open all that pain and unprocessed anger in your heart and release it so that you can hear what your heart is trying to say and lead with that heart, because that's your ticket out. And that's I feel like my most important message.
Now, so many people who are in the healing industry, including massage therapists, including, healers and everyone in the holistic field, in general, this is not a money-making field. And often people do this because it is such a strong calling that there's nothing else they could possibly do with their life. So how do we go about making money when we're in these kind of fields? I guess we can't all, be rich or make a decent salary. But it's a question I get a lot. How do I follow my dreams and still make money?
Yeah, okay. So first of all, I feel like I want to define what it means to make money. What I feel like, so I'm not about being multimillionaires, because I feel like I'm about is creating balance. So how do we create a balanced lifestyle where we're saving some money every month, we're paying the bills and living below our means? Because to me, that's a creating balance of money. And by saving money every month, eventually I feel like that leads to ability to buy a home, ability to invest, and ability to use your money to make money. And to me, that's start really creating balance of the money. But I'm not about, having a mansion and a plane, because I don't even desire that kind of stuff. So for me, first of all, I want to define the term of financial alignment means that you're living your purpose and you have a balanced financial flow. So that means like no debt, no money owed to people, but you're living below your means. And I think that's hard for a lot of lot of people, because a lot of people in this healing art feel like they're living above their means. They're living, you know, paycheck to paycheck. They're not saving money. They don't have any excess. They don't have any money for a down payment. And that's where I feel like we can really change that. And there's two elements to that. One is, you know, looking at how you spend money. And the second element is looking at, you know, how you're bringing in money. And then, you know, tipping the balance so that more comes in and goes out. So, you know, I like to start, you know, in my case, when I started this was looking at how I was spending money. Because I was bringing money in, it was just, it was always less than, you know, what I spent. So I have a whole section in my book about, you know, how do we align our spending with what's really our truth. And because I believe that when we really spend money in alignment with our truth, we naturally cut our spending. So that's one element. The second is, a lot of people are not charging enough money with their service to balance their finances. And this is a whole huge topic because I believe it has a lot to do with feelings of self-worth or unworthiness. And I could delve into any of these topics in great detail, but that's just like skimming the surface of those two arenas.
And so, you know, one of the problems that I've heard or I've seen is that people who are coming to practitioners that do these things don't value the service because it's not a thing. It's not a tangible item. And so it's difficult to bridge that gap between what people are willing to pay and what the person or the practitioner needs to make to be able to survive financially. So that's a tough thing. But I think, you know, the problem is that most people who do this work are not business people. So you speak about that in your book, because if you're not a business person, this just does not come naturally.
Right, it doesn't come naturally. Okay, let me speak to valuing the service. If you look at people who are in pain, for example, so quantum touch energy healing, any modality of energy healing and massage, it's really good for pain relief. You know, and so we look at, what do people do when they're in pain? So there's a couple of choices. A lot of people go to the doctor and get pain medication. And then that, and what happens is the pain medication isn't necessarily effective over time. It loses its ability over time. That's why people have to take more and more and more. And so let's look at, what's the value of getting out of pain? And for many people who are in chronic pain, they value that much more than they value their car. Because if you're in pain, nothing in life works. So I think that really, as a practitioner, we need to own the amount of value that we're offering people. I mean, getting out of pain is priceless for so many people. And so many people spend lots and lots of money trying to get out of pain and sometimes not seeing results with all that money they're spending. So I think the first step is to really understand we're providing an incredible value to people who are in pain and struggling, and the value is beyond money. So one of the things that I see, a lot of these practitioners don't own the value, don't own their value, and don't own the value that we're providing other people. And even, like, let's say coaching. If you can coach somebody and save a marriage, not only does that have financial repercussions, but that's invaluable emotionally. So where I feel like a lot of healing practitioners go wrong is feeling small around their service and feeling like somehow they're unworthy, and then underpricing. Because if you own the value of what you're offering, your client is going to own the value and pay the money. I've seen people charge anywhere from $40 an hour, which is too little, to $250 an hour, and the people charging $250 an hour have, like, full practices. So I think really owning, you know, the value that we're offering people.
Okay, that's yeah, that's really well said. And I do agree with that. I really do. So in the next minute or two, is there anything else that you feel it's important to share with us before we close the show?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I just wanted to say, on my website, the JenniferNoelleTaylor.com, if you go there, I'm giving away the first three chapters of my book for free as just an introduction. So if you're interested in signing up for my mailing list, I hope you do.
Okay, and your book is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and all the traditional online sellers?
Yeah, the book will be coming out May 8th, and then it'll be available on Amazon and everywhere. And right now I'm just giving away the first three chapters for free.
Okay, that's great. We look forward to reading it. And congratulations and good luck with the launch of your book. I appreciate that. So we are out of time, but... I thank you so much for calling in from Hawaii at 5:30 a.m. or 5 a.m. this morning because I'm in Florida and it's a five-hour difference, so I appreciate that. But thanks so much. You were a wonderful guest.
Great. Well, I really appreciate it. Sorry about the power outage, but thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Okay. Well, have a wonderful day. I appreciate it, too.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So I'm glad that our guest, Jennifer Noelle Taylor, called in and we were able to finish the show. I hope I was holding the phone up to the mic. I was hoping that you're hearing it as well as I'm hearing it, so that it's not distorted. Hopefully it's not. Anyway, thanks so much for tuning in, and I want to see what we have going on. Let's see. I'm trying to see what our next show is. I really should have my calendar in front of me when I start doing this show, but okay, here we go. Got it. Okay. Oh, on Friday the 15th, we're having Lynn Andrews. And Lynn is a healer as well, and she does these beautiful power decks, cards of wisdom, and she's going to be talking about that. It's an oracle system of these beautifully illustrated cards and a guidebook of affirmations and meditations that and how to use these cards. So tune in at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, and you will be able to listen to Lynn Andrews. Okay. Well, anyway, thank you so much. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
We hope you enjoyed today's programming. To learn more about Randy Fine, read her articles, or to make a counseling appointment with her, please visit randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Or visit her on Facebook at Randy G. Fine.